There is only one way to drive to Italy. I mean technique, not direction, although all roads do lead to Rome. Put your foot on the floor and pretend you know exactly where you're going. This is necessary because no matter at what breakneck speed you are driving, an expensive German car with Italian plates will appear in your rearview mirror with no warning, forcing you to one side and blowing past you as though you are standing still. This technique is necessary if you are driving for 10 minutes or 10 hours. You will clench your jaw and grip the steering wheel so tightly your knuckles will turn white. The stress of transit makes arrival especially sweet, and once you step out of your car, all pretense of urgency is swept away. Your coffee could appear immediately, or in half an hour, what's the hurry anyway? The trees that have lived in the rocky soil of Tuscany for thousands of years teach you that a few minutes here or there is not going to make a difference. Of course, the trees know better than to drive the autostrada between Bologna and Florence. My friend Uli calls the area around Sabina's Casa San Francesco the Tuscan Outback. Sabina's 600-year-old stone house sits at the end of a gravel road in near silence. Maybe there's the sound of a tractor across a valley, but mostly it's sheep, wind in the trees, and the occasional bird song. Sabina runs the place as a kind of retreat center, 2 weeks watercolor workshop in Tuscany with this seasoned artist, full room and board in the former homeland of the Etruscans. Sign up now, airfare and transportation not included. It's that sort of thing. But it's empty in the winter. Only a handful of lucky friends get to stop in for a night or two. We arrived in the flattering light of the late afternoon sun, shadows lying under the olive trees like paper cutouts, the citadel village of Marciano, presiding over the orchards from its perch in the distance. The garden smelled like the cake that Sabina had put in the oven, and the air was warm and dry. We were ecstatic to be out of the car. I could tell you about the sightseeing, the old Roman stones, the harbor, the stylish promenading Italians, but you can imagine for yourself what that looks like, and I'm sure you'll do a fine job. Think twisted olive branches, the smell of the ocean, a sparkling light, houses of the color terracotta and oranges and spilled wine, trimmed with the green of underripe limes or chocolate brown. It's exactly as you imagine. And I could tell you about the food, but you can imagine that, too. Steaming plates of pasta smothered in olive oil and vegetables. Maybe some squid or a blue ceramic bowl full of olives next to a plate of paper-thin prosciutto. It's all just like you think it is. You won't be disappointed. But I would rather tell you about the dinner party. A second pair of guests arrived the day after we did. Marcel and Anna are residents of Provence, that famous area in southern France. While we were out wandering the farm roads, Mario showed up to help out with the olive trees. Mario lives in Scanzano, about 30 miles away from Sabina's place. Naturally, he was invited to stay for dinner. Now, think language. At the table, we have French, Italian, German, and English. Things are divided up in such a way that there is not one common language for the group. Sabina speaks Italian, German, English, and French. Uli speaks German, French, English, and some Italian. Anna speaks French and German and understands some English. My husband speaks German and English. Mario speaks Italian and English. Marcel speaks French and understands a little English. I speak English and German and understand some French. Stick with me, okay? At dinner, we talked a little bit about the genetic predisposition towards learning languages. And about olives. Marcel has 40 olive trees and makes his own olives. Mario, it turns out, is something of an olive aficionado with a romantic flair. I felt almost embarrassed watching him wax eloquent over the quality of Marcel's olives. Mind you, my husband felt the need to keep the dish of olives right within his reach. Anna is an artist, a painter, like myself. Sabina and I have both worked as writers. Mario wants to study at a place where I once lived in California. And so it goes. Mario, in English, made the toast to the kindness of international spirits. One hand raising a glass of excellent local red, the other over his heart. All those languages, all those cultures, and the opportunity to sit at the dinner table with them. How fantastic to get to be the American representative. Oh, there's a great deal of frustration with those rusted languages, but it's a beautiful noise, hearing all the halting speech, the search for adjectives, and please pass the olive sounds the same in any language. We decided to stick around for one more day. We drove home with a car full of groceries, olive oil and real Parmesan, and many packages of biscotti and balsamic vinegar, and a few other treats, some to share, some to keep to ourselves. All the way back to Austria, the gas pedal was forced to the floor. The radio played Italian songs, and I pretended to sing along.